Time to talk football on The Bill Riley Show with a local legend. Former Ute and current Cleveland Brown, Nate Orchard is here to talk about football from Lake Erie to the Great Salt Lake.
Till the wheels fall off, I'm just going to keep going and going.
The Orchard interview is brought to you by WCF Insurance. Now from Cleveland, here's the guy terrorizing QBs in the AFC North, Nate Orchard with Bill Riley, right here on Utah's number one sports talk, ESPN 700.
He was getting after him Saturday, getting after Joe Flacco and his guys from the Baltimore Ravens. Great to have back on the program with us as we do each and every Tuesday. We catch up, talk a little NFL life and whatnot with Nate Orchard, our good friend and former Ute, current Cleveland Brown. Boy, another week and another tough one, Nate. How's the week going?
It's going great, man. It's I tell you what, that loss on Sunday definitely hurt just because, I mean, the offense did everything you wanted them to in that first half. They got the ball rolling. I mean, they were punching them left and right, you know, running the ball, passing the ball, and then we kind of just died off in that second half. And, I mean, for them to get that last-second field goal and get that, the field goal at the end and then to get the interception to kind of cap it off, that one stings a little bit.
I know it's the NFL, and I know nothing's ever over till it's over, but you had to be feeling pretty good about things early in that game. I think you guys led at one point in time 20-2.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, we were feeling great because it was everything Coach Jackson harped on, where he told us throughout the week, you know, we're going to run the ball, and that's that. And he did that coming out. Crowell had an 85-yard run, which was amazing. And defense was stopping the offense. We did everything we wanted to, you know, stopping their run game and ours increasing. But, like I said, we just couldn't finish off in that second half.
So where did it change, do you think? Where did that where did that game change for you?
I don't know. You know, you look at the film and you look at the demeanor and the guys on the sideline, it kind of died off, you know, kind of like we lost some gas and we just weren't able to finish the game. That's something that can't happen, and we've got to be able to, you know, step on teams' throats and be able to finish games.
Nate Orchard with us. You guys are snake bitten, it seems, at quarterback right now. RG3 in week one, Josh McCown in week two. And so, like Coach Witt used to say, and I'm sure you guys say it on that level too, if not in the same words, it's next man up. So,
right.
Next man up
right.
is a guy.
I think we talked about that last week after Robert went down. and here we are again, you know, next man up. And Cody's going to be our guy now this week, and hopefully he'll be our guy for the rest of the year. But I have 100% belief in Cody coming out of college, you know, playing against him. And even his grades are from Pro Football Focus coming out. The kid's amazing. You know, even though he wasn't your first-round quarterback, we took him in the third, and you got to look at Tom Brady, someone like that story, being taken in the sixth round and, you know, becoming the MVP is and amazing quarterback in the league. And so, you know, we believe in Cody 100%.
Well, it's funny you say that because Scott Mitchell, the former Ute quarterback, had a great NFL career of 12 seasons, was just in studio with me for an hour, and we talked about this. He said, hey, the NFL's all about taking advantage of your opportunity. If Tom Brady has an off couple of games when Bledsoe gets hurt, he may never have gotten that chance again. But he took advantage of that opportunity when it presented itself, and he got more opportunities. That's really how the NFL is, especially when you play a position like quarterback or even, you know, like you a year ago. You weren't a starter a year ago, but when you got the chance to play, you took advantage and made the coaches take notice, right?
Yeah, most definitely. And like you said, that's part of being in the league. No matter what position you're in, whether it's center, you had a guy go down with injury at center, you know, whether you're receiver, running back, no matter who you are on the field, you always got to be ready. I know we had a couple of injuries in this game, and we had backups come in and step up right away, and we didn't miss a beat. And so, I mean, that's just part of the game. And if you want to stay in this league and have a long career, you got to be able to be on your toes at all times, and preparation throughout the week is where it all starts.
I was perusing the Red Zone channel on Sunday afternoon because I was a little tired after that 4:35 arrival Sunday morning back from California after the Utes game. And so I'm laying there watching, and then who do I see but Nate Orchard. I think you were chasing down Justin Forsett or somebody from the backside, made a nice little tackle for loss.
Yeah, you know, it was... I mean, like I said, you know, when you get the opportunities to get in, you got to make the most of it. And even though I was limited to a few plays, when I got in, I did my job and you know, whatever I can to help the defense.
Nate Orchard's our guest here on the Bill Riley Show today on ESPN 700, former Ute and current Cleveland Brown back. We talked last week about maybe getting to catch up with Weddle and Steve Smith. I know it was probably what wasn't the most pleasant time after the game, but did you get a chance to catch up with E-Dub and introduce yourself to Steve?
No, I mean, I actually got to introduce myself to Steve before the game.
Gotcha.
And just tell him, you know, how much I've idolized him and how he's been the great example to myself and, you know, just guys coming out of Utah. He was really cool about that, real down to earth. And, I mean, just throughout the game, as the game went on, just talking a little smack to him on the sideline. They had, like, a pass interference when Joe Hayden was guarding him. Kind of funny. But, yeah, it's cool to kind of have that relationship and get to know a guy like that, especially at this level where, you know, he's such an idol to so many people at his position, and it's fun to get to know him like that.
You guys have another one. It's just, you know, the NFL's never ending. I mean, you know, lost last week, got to put it behind you and then get back on the horse this week as there's yet another game in the National Football League. This time you get to go down to Miami and see the Dolphins, and the Dolphins got a pretty good offense. Tannehill could pitch it around just a little bit. What's the storyline right now as you guys go on the road to see the Dolphins this week?
I mean, the biggest thing is going to be the climate. You know, it's going to be hot, so we need to prepare ourselves for the heat. Need to hydrate throughout the week. Talking to our high performance guys, they've got some ideas thrown at us as far as, you know, getting our bodies ready for the heat. Little tricks we can do with the sauna and steam room every day for about 20 minutes just to get our bodies ready for when we get there. We can adjust pretty quickly to the heat. But as far as the team, the offense, yeah, Tannehill, I mean, someone who can sling the ball. And they're going to do that, I'm sure, once we get there and game time comes. So we just need to do a better job getting to the quarterback. I know we've struggled the last two games getting back there. I don't think we recorded a single sack this last game. But in order for us to win, we need to affect the quarterback and stop the run game.
Nate Orchard, our guest, presented by our friends at WCF Insurance here on ESPN 700. Your former teammates and that Utah defensive line got after it, Nate. Most sacks in a game since you led them in sacks at UCLA a few years ago. They came up with 10 sacks of the quarterback against San Jose State in that big win, and now it's on to conference play for the Utes this week. But that line and that defense being led by Morgan Scally, a fellow Highland Ram, is doing pretty well right now.
That's awesome. How's the D line looking? Where are they at number wise as far as sacks for the season?
They're number two in the country, Nate. They've got 15 awesome sacks through three games. But you'll love this: 15 sacks by 10 different guys.
Wow! Look at that.
Hunter has three to lead the way, but Filippo got two. Filippo was playing some defensive end, so Filippo got two. Lowell got one. Justin Thomas got one. Hunter got two. Everybody was in on the sack parade on Saturday night.
Awesome, man. So what are we looking at? Is Demick going to be our new mayor of the Sack City or what?
I don't know. I think there's open elections right now. I mean, with Kylie Fitz being out for the year, I think Hunter's got a chance to step up and take it. But I think Filippo kind of enjoys being able to play out on that edge a little bit and show off that athleticism.
Okay, hey. I just hope I get the final say on who's the next mayor.
Well, I think since you're a former mayor, that you should have some say in it yourself, Nate.
No doubt. I'm excited to watch my Utes, man, as the season goes on. I'm not sure, you know, if I'll be able to catch a game this year, but I think our bye week is like in late December or something like that.
Yeah, well,
sucks.
Well, you'll be able to watch it on TV. It's a 7 o'clock game against SC on Fox. And if I remember properly, a few years ago when Nate Orchard was roaming on the end, you made kind of a pretty big play early in a USC game, didn't you?
Yeah, I guess that was, what, my freshman
I think sophomore year. Yeah.
Yeah, I had a strip sack on Matt Barkley. That was a fun game.
Yeah, wasn't it a strip sack in six?
That's right, strip sack and six. That's right. I'll never forget that. That was, at the time, it was USC, Matt Barkley, the Matt Barkley, you know, who's going to go in the first round, all this hype around him, and to be able to go out there, I think it was the first drive, the star affect that center, you know, a little bit of a low or high snap it was. And me just coming off the edge and get to the quarterback, that was a thrill. The stadium was rocking.
Yeah, it should be Friday night. It's Friday night. It's the blackout game for the year is coming up on Friday night, and it's USC coming in. Let me ask you, when you would go up against a team, Nate, whether it's in the NFL or whether it's in college football, USC made a quarterback change this week. They went away from their guy that started the first three games. They're going to start a redshirt freshman for the first time. So when you're sitting in those defensive line or those defensive meetings, whether it's in Cleveland or Salt Lake City, and you know you've got a guy that's never started a game before, does that make you a little excited as a guy that rushes the passer?
Oh, definitely, definitely, because you have an opportunity to get back there and take his head off. I mean, you got an opportunity to get back there and rattle the guy and let him know what kind of league you're in, what kind of conference you're in, and that this isn't just a walk in the park. So when you get the opportunity to be out there and on a stage like that, you know, Friday night blackout game, home game, I believe, right?
It is.
You just got to take advantage of it, make the most of it, and just show them who we are and what we're made of.
Nate Orchard's our guest. Is it easier to rattle a college first-time starter or a pro first-time starter in your experience?
I'd have to say college, just because the atmosphere is totally different. You know, stadiums, I believe, a little louder just because it's more compact. There's just more pressure. You know, you're coming from high school where you were probably the star and you could just walk around everyone. And now college, you know, it's another step, but you just got a lot on your plate and you're going to have a lot thrown at you.
As you guys look at this this season right now, 0-2, it's a long season, but what's the biggest thing right now for the Browns? It seems to me like you guys have to, maybe it's a process of being a young team, but figure out how to finish games.
Yeah, and you hit the nail on the head. You know, we just got to be able to finish games. And we've been in, I mean, you got to look at the Philadelphia game. Halfway through the third quarter, you know, it's only 15-10. We're there, and we just, you know, let it slip away. Same thing in Baltimore. We had a metric to the end and just couldn't score any more points in the second half, and you know, we shot ourselves in the foot. So I mean, we're getting there, and you know, once we get over this hump, we're gonna start to dominate. And I feel like it was kind of like that going into my sophomore junior year, and then we excelled going into my senior year. But you know, we don't want to wait that long. This is a league where you want to win now. And I know we're going to go out and make that happen.
Do you guys put any more pressure on yourselves as a defensive unit with a first-time quarterback out there?
Oh, definitely. I mean, we put pressure on ourselves from the get. You know, we need to go out there and score points on defense. We need to cause more turnovers and put our offense in better field position.
Bigger rival for the Browns, is it the Steelers or the Bengals?
If anything, it's the Ravens.
The Ravens?
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, you got to think about it. You know, they moved the team in, what it was, 1999 or something like that, or they brought the team back here. But when they moved them to Baltimore, you know, that same Ravens team won the Super Bowl, I believe, in 2001, 2002. And technically, that should be Cleveland's Super Bowl, you know what I'm saying? And then you take players like Ray Lewis and things like that. If you can only imagine all that Baltimore had, should have been here in Cleveland. And so I think the rivalry is probably biggest with Baltimore.
Let me ask you before I let you go. You've been in that locker room before. Is this game this weekend a big one for the L.A. guys with USC coming in? Because there's so many L.A. guys and Southern California guys on the Utah roster. Do you remember that being a big game for those guys? Because a lot of them maybe weren't recruited by SC or were lightly recruited. Do the L.A. guys on the Utah roster really get up for this game?
Oh, definitely, because you got to think about the amount of Polynesians. I don't think any other team in the country has as many Polynesians as we do. And you got to think they're either from Texas, mostly from Texas and California. And you have those L.A. guys, California guys, who were, like you said, maybe weren't looked at by SC. And this is their opportunity to go back and, you know, smack the team in the mouth and say, look what you missed out on. And show them that, hey, just because I was in a four or five-star recruit, you know, you still should have gave me my shot. And I know my senior year we beat SC, Stanford, UCLA, and that was the best feeling right there, beating all those California teams and pretty much saying, you know what, we own the state of California, and there's no reason why we shouldn't go out and do that again this year.
Well, we'll see if Utah can do that this week and take that step toward winning the state of California, and we'll see if the Browns can get that first big win of the year this weekend as they take on the Miami Dolphins. Nate, as always, good catching up with you, brother. Go get a sack this week, grab Tannehill, and get that first win.
Will do. Thanks, Bill. It was nice talking to you.
Yeah, you too, Nate. Nate Orchard with us, presented by our friends at WCF Insurance. That's WCF Insurance here on the Bill Riley Show.